Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you gotta do.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley.
Hola.
We also have a special guest in studio today. You will probably recognize him from True Blood. Also on the new season of True Detective, which no spoilers, I am not caught up on.
I won't spoil it.
I am one episode into it, and I'm sure you get this all the time because it just so happens that you have been on two hit series, both with the name True in them. So I want to call you the world's only True actor, Greg Daniel, ladies
well,
and gentlemen.
Well, you coined it that way. Thank you.
You're welcome. In studio.
Thank you. Yeah. It's funny how people really get a kick out of that.
Yeah, it's just a stupid coincidence.
Of course. Yeah. Well, my name on True Blood, my character is Reverend Daniels.
Oh, really?
And I swear to God, they just named it that. I got the sides. I was on the East Coast when they sent me the material to audition for. And I said, oh, look, the name's Reverend Daniels. That has been the bane of my existence. Everybody's like, oh, so you I want to say something like bright and witty and intelligent. Like, yeah. Say, no, it's just, so I lie now. I met with them months ahead.
Months ahead.
We worked this out. It was an integral part. It's an anagram, you see. Yeah. Really means if you spell it backwards.
It's like being a wide receiver in the NFL. That's your number. You know what I mean? I will only play roles that their last name is. He's very method, Greg Daniel. I don't know if you know.
I wouldn't even come to studio unless they named him.
Yeah. So the only thing you could do is if you can make him a plural Daniel. That he'll allow that.
I'll allow that. Even though my name is a singular.
Right, exactly.
And there's a reason for that because my father's from the Caribbean. Oh. And Daniel is usually spelled without an S down there. So why I mention is because every time I write Daniel, people insist, even when you're in places, I don't know how to spell my name. Oh, he must have met Daniels.
Aren't people stupid?
Correct this for the nice guy. He's just to put Daniels all the time.
Oh my God! So you misspelled your name.
Exactly.
And the older you get, the more they're going to assume you did it.
And it's sincere. It's really sincere. They're trying to do me a favor. It's like, no, my name is Daniel. So anyway,
the only way to make it worse is they talk really loud. Sir, you forgot your ass. I'm about to forget my foot up your ass is what I'm about to forget.
Exactly. So you roll with it. You roll with it, you know. And my wife is from the Caribbean as well. And so her name is Verilyn, V-E-R-A-L-Y-N. Uh-huh. They have a field day with that one.
I bet.
Vera, Marilyn. They've called her every name in the book. Americans don't. We don't get off on that. Like, your name's so great, Paco.
Yeah. He made that up.
I made it up.
It's cool. It's like Bruno Mars. I like that. Yeah, that's cool. You know, Peter Hernandez or Fernandez is his name, but Bruno Mars. I mean, but we don't get off on
names. I feel like I want to have a cool. I had the closest thing. I used to do stand up. I still do, but so I'm trying to get into radio and stuff. And so I got the job at the station. And I want a cool, like, nickname, Monica, you know, like Man Cow, like that.
Yeah.
The closest I've come is Boom Boom Sauce. That happened in Omaha. They call me Justin Boom Boom
Sauce.
In Omaha. They have like a wing place that has a special Boom Boom Sauce.
Boom Boom Sauce.
And I was like, I didn't know. That sounds awesome. I want that. I'm Boom Boom in the morning.
I got one for me. Ready?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Sweet Papa Too Bad.
Oh
yeah.
It was my brother's, actually. It was my brother's.
See, that's fine.
That's your brother's nickname?
Well, he named it. It was my brother who named me
Sweet Papa
Too Bad.
Sweet Papa
and I'm
Too
always
Bad.
To mention it. I'm always too humble.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard to like introduce yourself to somebody and go, sure, my name is Greg Daniel, no S, but two G's.
call me.
You know what? Just to simplify it, Sweet Papa Too Bad.
There you go.
That's just the way to lay it. I hope you at least have sweetpapatoobad.com. That needs to be a thing.
Hey,
we have to work on that.
Yeah, the publicists get on that. That is a must have. I think you need .net.
Let's patent that right away. Is that Library of Congress?
Is that friendly for work? Is that work safe?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That's up to him. That's okay. What he does. I don't. Maybe Sweet Papa Too Bad becomes another character. You know, a one-man show that he creates.
The exec said to HBO, "We want a Sweet Papa Too Bad on this show."
Yeah, absolutely. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Hey,
right? There's no reason you can't.
Hey.
Greg, listen, there's a new show. It's got the word true in it, so we want you in. We need Daniel on this. We've got a great name. And then they're back at the meeting, says, listen, Daniel's in. All right, he is in. One thing, you know how hard up he is about the character name.
All right.
So he just wants Daniels? No, this time, Sweet Papa Too Bad.
That's right.
We can work that in. Get the writers on the horn. Let's make it happen. Let's greenlight this sucker.
Works for me.
All right, I want to get to know Greg Daniel, two G's, no S. And,
yes.
Or AKA Sweet Papa Too Bad.
Sweet Papa Too Bad. Hey, I'm wearing it. I'm going to wear it today. Sweet Papa Too Bad.
So you now, I'm assuming you're married. You have children.
Yes.
How many children?
I just have one. Have one who has just sent me the sweetest message from New York. She's in New York. She's a dancer, 16, and she had the chance this summer to study at Juilliard.
Wow.
She's dance
kind
intensive.
Kind of a failure, and you're kind of ashamed.
Yeah, well, we're really ashamed. You know,
she's at the Rolls
Royce. I didn't mean to bring it up. Claudia, the publicist, didn't say anything. She didn't say, don't bring up the extremely successful daughter.
I
apologize.
We're going to write a tell-all book about her, in fact. She's amazing. She's remarkable, and this sort of verified it when you had to audition, and it's like, it's brutal. You had to audition to get in the program, and she got into it, so she is there now. Today is her final day. I can't go because I'm directing a play, and my wife is there to see the two performances she's going to do. But can you believe that 16 years old in New York, living at Lincoln Center the Juilliard School?
That's 16 amazing. Years old?
She's 16.
Wow, this kid really is a loser. I'm so sorry, Greg.
Yeah.
Man, so failed her as a father in some way, shape, or form,
I guess. I'm telling you. And I think her school for the West Coast for her is doomed. I think in love with New York now. Yeah. It's just like, we're New York. We're New Yorkers, but we used to take her back when we would go every now and then. It was like, okay, have your senior moment. Get on the plane. Let's go home.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Los Angeles. Okay? Because my wife and I would be, maybe we should move back and get a loft in Soho. Let's go down. And she's like, yeah, okay, guys, have it. Now let's go back home. But now suddenly it's like, oh, Dad, I love to go to Soho. Oh, I love around here. And it's the places that she knows in New York, you see. She doesn't know the places I've been to.
Right. Yeah. She didn't grow up in New York.
Hell's Angels, East 1st Street between 1st and 2nd. You know, she's like, oh, Lincoln Center. And what is that women's wear thing that she loves so much? The sports thing.
Lululemon?
Lululemon across the street. Dad, I went to Lululemon this morning.
Columbus
shops I visited when
I
they didn't have a Lululemon in Hell's Kitchen.
I was in Brooklyn, Bet-Stuy.
I think they closed
didn't
down
do
most
Lululemon.
Of the
shops. Lululemon wasn't a thing.
So it's the kind of New York she's growing up in right now that makes me go, you know, you always want to do, come on, your father. You always want your kids to do better and have these opportunities, but I'm just bitter about it. I'm just bitter. You know, you got dad's money, you're in New York for the summer and Juilliard. Okay.
No. But I'm glad you brought that up because that is an interesting thing that I think a lot of people deal with, especially if you grow up in not a rough as in like traumatic, but you know what I mean?
Rough as in, rough.
You had trauma. I apologize.
Okay.
I was in a.
So you grow up and it's challenging, right? And then you see your kid kind of. That's the idea, but just kind
Absolutely.
Of skate through.
Absolutely.
I thought I would have to be at least. I'm 36 now. I thought I would have to at least break 45
before you felt that way?
Before I started saying things to my kid, do you have any idea how good you have? You know what I mean? Before I started doing the uphill both ways and the snow type talk. I was a kid, we couldn't fast forward through commercials. That's the stuff I've said to my children. It's horrible.
You know, it's commensurate with what they get. I mean, right now she's on top of the world and she's hit it at 16, that part of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, at 16, man, I was trying to get 3 meals a day and everything. Yeah. But so she's doing great. She's there. Today's the final performances. I wish I could be there. I can't. So shout out to my daughter. Love you. You're amazing.
She's a listener. Now. I don't know if you knew that, but she does listen.
You're amazing. Listen right now.
Well, good for you.
I'll cut the money off. Cut it right off.
See, that's the only thing. My dad was always big on, you got to have a job. And I think that, I want my kids to have a job and all that stuff. But I do like the idea of kind of having that string attached. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with the cell phone, I am looking forward to when my boys are 6 and 4.
Oh, you got babies.
Yes. So when they become teenagers, and I'm imagining in 10 years, the cell phone will just be implanted into their head in some way, exactly. shape, or form. So then I can have a special app that will just shut down their bodies. Like they'll just, you know what I mean? Like a car with low jack. Right. They'll just be stuck somewhere.
Don't do that alcohol.
And I'll track them.
Shut them down.
And then I could yell at them while they're frozen like a robot and can't move. Go, did you think I wouldn't find you?
That's hilarious.
Did you think I wouldn't find you?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the language. That's the language now.
Yeah, it's crazy. So how did you and your lovely wife meet?
We met, even though we're both from New York, we met in Los Angeles.
Really?
I kept hearing about her in New York, because there's a community of black actors and actresses that, yeah, we all know each other. It's like a small world kind of thing.
So it's also, it's not just black people in general all know each other. It's no. also, it's the
just,
actors.
Just actors and actresses.
All right. Okay. So stupid we all white guy talking, just saying.
Exactly. Because, you know, we travel the same community, so we knew. So I've heard of her before, but I didn't know her. So we got out here, and there was a book signing, a book signing. And here I finally meet, oh, you're Verilyn Jones. And I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, she's all that. She thinks she's all that.
Oh, you were hooked.
And she hates me when I say this, because I just saw her, and she was so together, and sitting there at this bar, legs crossed, and she had a martini or something on her hand. I'm thinking, yeah, she thinks she's all that. Okay, fine. Hi, I'm Greg Daniel. Yeah, forget about it. You know, so there was like, nah.
You should have moved in with
But I learned later. It actually bad. Has yeah. to do Sweet Papa Too Bad, but it's because you know she is Caribbean and she does carry this kind of. Yeah. It's different from American.
They have
it's
a swagger.
And they have this presence in this, and she had
sort of a regality.
And she was a former dancer also, so she had. It was just this presence. She always says, "Why do you tell that story? Why do you always say that?" I didn't give off any. I was like, "Honey, you look so regal when you were sitting there."
Exactly.
I just knew I felt like the ugly frog. Or something. There was no way I was going to, you know. So I just said hi, and then after that, I saw her a few more times, and I thought, "Oh, she is kind of cute. She is kind of cute." And we had a similar background. Both her parents were West Indian, and my father was West Indian. Uh-huh. So we had this Caribbean thing going. That we understood the food, the culture, the this, the that.
Right.
Being former colonies. So, and then I started dating her. And after that, that was it. We've been together 20 years now.
How did you get out of the, like, you big deal, Greg Daniel, I don't care. Like, was there a specific move that you made? Or was it just relentlessness? You wore her down?
Well, I saw her in other
like
circumstances.
Like a POW. Like
you broke down that's her world.
That's true. Well, I observed in other circumstances, and I saw she wasn't all that. You know, because there's certain signals. There's certain signals
hold
you
on.
Give our...
Hold on. I have to ask. I got to figure this out. Because so
you don't
saying,
want to go down that road, though.
Yeah.
That way lies ruined, young man.
Well, I'm saying
you're going to end it at 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. You don't really want to do that.
You see her, and you thought that she was all that, or you saw her and also felt that way.
No, I saw her, and I thought she felt that way.
Yeah.
That she was all that. And I'm in L.A. now, so I'm in L.A., and I've been warned.
Yeah.
This is like my first year or second year here, and I'm saying, oh, okay. So, no, I thought she felt she was all. And an actress? Come on.
Yeah.
So I thought,
especially
no.
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I thought, okay, so I jumped to conclude. Yes, I did.
You judged the book by its cover.
I did. And then
but that's okay because you then married the book. You read all the chapters in the index.
And I'm very, very lucky, and she's a very talented actress.
How long have you guys been married?
We've been married 20 years together for 26.
Wow. And how long? So you were together for 6 years,
yes.
got married.
Yes.
How long before your daughter came in?
You know, we did
picture?
Everything backward. We actually had bought a house. Did we buy a house first together?
Oh, wow.
We bought a house.
You
and we weren't married.
And you play a reverend on premium cable network in a vampire village in the South. How dare you, sir?
A fallen idol.
Podcast over.
But so we had bought, because I don't know, we kind of went through the back door. I think as all our friends were like, oh, you guys got to get married. You guys are perfect. You got to get married. It's like, get out of here. What is this, like a club? We get like a membership card and a button or something? So we sort of avoided. And then one day we said, hey, you want to get married? And we said, okay, sure. So it was really done on our
really?
Feed.
Hold on. You didn't do the knee on the thing? You just like it
I
was,
did. I did.
It, okay.
I did. I took her to Sausalito, California.
Ooh.
I had roses sent to the room.
Hello.
The hotel.
Sweet puppet.
Now, here's
too
a great story.
Strikes again.
Here's a story. I had ordered this engagement ring from this place in New York. And I had cleverly taken one of her rings from off her bureau and sized it and sent it in or something like that. So they made the ring. And, of course, I presented with the ring in the hotel with roses. And the ring was for a pinky, not for the ring.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. So we had to send the ring back to New York. But that's a small thing because she was just so taken by what I had done. So I did. I asked her to marry me, and she said yes.
Nice. And so then the other part that I always like is, did you guys have any, like, big fights about planning the wedding? wedding. You always hear the stories about, and I don't know, now since I started doing the show and asking more and more people, yeah. I'm starting to feel like maybe it was just my marriage that went through this.
Where, went down with you, yeah.
Yeah, like, well, we paid for it all ourselves, and I got married when I was 21, so we were very young.
Oh, you were young, wow.
Yeah, and we had been, I did it a little, I was a sinner too, Mr. Daniel, and what I did was, We started
cast
dating.
Out sin. No.
Thank you. Oh, that's right. You can actually marry people.
Yeah, yeah.
The I like the idea of getting ordained. I was like, listen, yeah. I'm very method. And no, the we moved in like 6 months after we graduated high school. We started dating towards the end of high school. Moved in together, and we're living together forever. And then we're going to get married. And we're broke because we're young. And she goes, I figured it out. I got our wedding down to $5,000. And I was like, awesome. If you do that two or three more times, whatever you just did, we should be able to get married. And she just started crying because she wanted all this stuff. And I was like, well, we can't afford it and blah, blah, blah. So it looked like, you know, everybody has that kind of moment where it's like, maybe this isn't going to work or it doesn't go the way. Yeah. My dad's story was that he didn't like his wedding because the first wedding because he said I just spent all day writing checks.
Wow, that's a downer. Wow, that's a bummer.
Like he just was at the church going, here you go, right here's another check.
Ours was kind of odd in that both all our parents were gone by that time. We lost our parents early, so without parents around to say you have to, Edna has to come. And
bittersweet.
It is bittersweet. So everybody from on the East Coast because we got married out here. We were going to do a destination wedding. We were going to go to England because. We have a lot of relatives in England. But we said, no, that's too expensive. So that might have been a
trying to get
there.
Further away from relatives. That's how we
do it. The few that are remaining, let's fly out of the country and then really limit it. But so without sort of the parents around, it wasn't that hard. Not that it would have been hard if they were here. And
you're right.
And
it
is bittersweet because God, we wanted to have.
Obviously.
But. You
they
know,
do no cause a lot of drama, the in-laws.
No, you know, chemistry. Like, well, this one can't be with that one. That one can't be with this one. You can't have this. You can't have that. So we just said, our friends who are willing to come out and fly out and the ones that are here. So it was really
right.
And we did it in our backyard. We have a beautiful backyard. We did like a Tuscany kind of thing.
And you still have that same house?
No, we moved to that house. All right. Yeah, no, we moved from that house. But it was a beautiful house and we had like a long it's just like, I don't know, we had this Tuscany theme and people singing at it and carrying on. It was it was cool. It was very cool.
Sounds great.
So tell me now, I want to know about when you found out you're going to be a father. Was it planned? Was it like we're going to do
it? It was planned.
It
was definitely planned because we were doing great and we thought, we don't have to have kids. I mean, was I mistaken? It is the greatest thing in the world. You might really. I don't know if you have any children.
I do.
Not.
I have there you go. Two sons, 14 and 17.
Oh, there you go. And my daughter's 16. But we thought we were going to, okay, we love kids, but we don't necessarily have to have children.
Right.
And wow, now 16 years later, let me tell you, it is the best thing in the world.
I feel like you may be the only person on the planet who is saying those words.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no. No, I mean, I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm just saying that I feel like you are an anomaly. I've never
missed a chance to parent, to see this girl come and turn what she's turning into.
No, I'm not arguing that. I get it that, you know, but it's like there are the frustrations, right?
Yeah.
But overall, it is a great thing, very fulfilling and stuff. But the time, and it almost feels like maybe your daughter acts as if she's 10 years older than what she is.
You know what? His daughter is all that.
Right.
That's what it is.
Like
that's
the wife was.
Yeah,
all that.
Exactly. Yeah.
She's a sweet baby too good.
But we never had a real problem. I mean, knock on wood, you know, toy. She's never really been. Now, she's 16, so I don't know if she's going to rebel like next year.
Yeah, I really
and
hope
go goth on us and just hate that. I don't know, but it hasn't been super challenging at all.
I say that. Well, thanks for stopping by. It was great. Yeah. Way to make us all feel like losers.
Learn how to parent. So we would have been really, if we had, in fact, if we started early, I can say this, we would have had more.
Yeah.
If we had started earlier, it was that.
Wow. And that's where they trick you. You see, I can tell you,
absolutely.
As a guy who started early,
No bueno.
No bueno.
I was like 30.
Oh, you were young.
We were relatively young, but I knew two was the limit because that you second too. One was exponentially more difficult.
Boy, girl, two boys, two girls?
We have two boys.
Two boys.
Should be easier to answer.
He
that.
Says that with a gasp.
He has a lot that goes on in his head. When we started doing this show, he was like, I would have like a rotating kind of guest situation, right? And this is when I first moved into the house. He's my neighbor. So to protect the anonymity of his children and his family from being discovered on the internet that he's you know, talking about their lives and everything on the show, he came up with the name Paco Lancini. And then to go with the Latin theme, he gave everybody their own name. So his wife has a fake name of Luna, kids, Diego, Chad. All of the animals have Latin names. Everybody is covered. Like, so we're making
it's like a witness protection program.
Exactly. It's like True Detective. Like, we're telling what we think is a true story, but all the names have been changed all to protect the innocent. Changed.
So when you ask a question, there has to be a 7-second delay while I sort through.
Yes.
Who's who right. now?
He doesn't know if them being,
two girls.
Yeah, if them being Latin changes their gender. He's very confused over there.
Wow, and I thought I had an exciting life. Wow.
But my point was is that I on the road, I talk a lot. My act is about being married and having kids and stuff, and I make fun of the troubles of it. And I will have parents come up to me constantly who don't have toddlers anymore and will say, you know, my favorite one was a mom who came up to me and said, when they're 15, you will wish they were crapping their pants again.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just to hear somebody say, she's 16 and it's never been better. I feel like everybody else who has a teenager is going, what? What? Who is this? No. What is in the water?
I got to claim it. She's
honey,
been...
we're moving to Los Angeles.
Don't do that. Now I got to claim it. She's been. And I think maybe because she found a passion early. I don't know. Maybe because. Right. And it's funny that we were delusional because we thought we didn't want her in the business. We didn't want to go near the
business. Right, right.
And of course, my friends are like, you know. Are you guys out of your mind? What do you think is going to happen? And we're like, no. The taxidermist or something like that. We don't want her to do the arts. Yeah, arts is just too.
Stay out of show business.
Of course.
Yeah. My folks are, you know, have a toe in show business, and they forbade us to have the kids have anything to do with it. And now my older son is getting interested in acting, and he's doing it on his own. It's not anything that
we just didn't want to have any undue influence on because we're both in the business. She's been to sets before. She's met famous people before, celebrities before. And so we didn't want all that exposure to make her think, oh, I'm just going to start acting tomorrow. We didn't want that. So that didn't happen. So then when she segued into dance, I said, okay.
It's a dance or whatever. It's a hard row to hoe. It's a hard business.
How do you do that? Like, if you're especially if you're the parent, is it easier? Like, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that if I'm you look at my parents, right? My dad worked as a kind of a biomed technician, had his own contracting business. My mom was a respiratory therapist. When I told them I wanted to go into entertainment I couldn't really say I wanted to be an actor because at the time I was a Star Trek Ferengi at a theme park and thought I was all that. I was 18 years old putting a gigantic foam butt on my head, teeth, and taking pictures with tourists.
Are and go, interesting,
this
right?
is what acting is. After this, it is straight to Hamlet,
downhill,
my friends.
Downhill.
This dance belt does not compress me enough. I will not be chained by it. But, so it's like my dad was supportive, but I think on some level he was also kind of concerned about, and he was very smart. He wasn't saying like, listen, go after your dream, but if this is what you're going to do, you're not going to know where your next paycheck is going to come from. So he was always coming at it from a standpoint of saying you have to be careful when you manage your money and stuff like that. But you guys, both of you, pursued your passion. It worked out for you. And then now you have your daughter. It's like, to me, it's always like my wife wanted to get a tattoo. And I said, you can't get a tattoo. And she's like, why not? I said, because we're going to have children one day. And then you're going to go, you can't get a tattoo. And then they're going to say, well, you have a tattoo. So, but for you, it's kind of a thing.
Well, you know, my parents were terrified. Now, especially my father from Caribbean. He sure didn't get this. Well, wait a minute. You work sometime and then you... You don't know where they were terrified, but for one thing I have to say about my parents, they never did anything to stop me. They never said a disparaging word. They never said, oh, don't do this. They saw, that I had a passion for it, but they were terrified.
Oh,
here's this kid from the inner city who's saying, I'm going, and I had good grades in school. I had great grades in school, so they thought I'd be a lawyer or a doctor. Here I am. No, I want to be an actor. So they were terrified, but they never, I credit that to them to this day, that they never said anything to push me away from it at all. But they did have their doubts, like that. Where are you going to get a paycheck from? Where are you going to get? But for my daughter, we sort of like leaned back and saw how hard she worked at it. We really wanted to see, let's see if you're going to work at this, if you're willing to give up things to go to class and to improve yourself. Yeah. And she met the test. We just
With dancing, I think the discipline is exponentially.
And it's hard on her body, and she's 16 years old.
Harder than
my wife danced when she was
a kid. No offense to actors, but it's harder than the kind of commitment it takes with that.
No offense to actors. Well, come on. I know he's in the room, but let's be honest.
I mean, I'm a long line of actors.
It's not digging ditches. He would be the first to tell you. You know what I mean?
It's not the same thing. Yeah. I mean, she's working 6 days a week. The program is 6 days a week. They only get off Sunday. They start class in the morning. They do rehearsals in the evenings. So her body is being worked.
I have a very deep understanding of this. Not only is my wife dance, but I also have seen my fair seasons of Dancing with the Stars. So I understand when you actually take actors and make them dance.
That's a whole
very
other
challenging.
Thing.
It's they go, challenging. We do this. I love when they say that on the. It's 8 hours, 12 hours a day.
That's right.
We just dance.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's right. And then if you do ballet, because that's contraindicated to the body. I mean, she does.
Oh, yeah.
She's been doing partnering and all that stuff. It's really. She comes home and throws her feet sometimes in ice water. And it's
wow.
So we just leaned back just to see how much she wanted it, because if she didn't have the passion for it, it wasn't going to happen.
Because it hurt. My wife danced ballet as a kid. She literally has a closet, a 5 foot by, you know, whatever, how tall it is. I'm guessing 8 foot tall closet. No joke. A third full of all of her point shoes that she went through as like a kid. And that's not even all, like, and they're just tore up. And if you look at her feet, listen, my wife is very beautiful, but her feet could kill a man. Like she literally, whatever her secret agent move, like my wife has Ronda Rousey's feet. You see, she can snap not just a pencil, but a ballpoint pen. She can snap it with her toes. And that's just the dexterity and strength that they have just to go up on their and walk around on your toes. And, you know, and then everything pops now whenever she moves and everything. And this is what I love too about what, you know, they do to their bodies. My wife is 30 and she was already like, oh man, I'm falling apart. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. You can't be falling apart at 30.
Because you're demanding so much of it so young. So she's avoided any major injuries. Because we always say to her, honey, avoid injury. Honey, you got to eat well. Honey, take Pilates. We all always like things to counter that, which I don't know if they did back then. I don't think they did.
My wife danced on a dislocated knee, and she was in a ballet company in the Central Valley of California. At the same age your daughter's going to Juilliard. It's like, honey, come on.
It's like the early days of football.
The Nutcracker's coming back again. It's all they have in Modesto. Everybody's going to be okay.
Yeah, so it's so now we tell her, if you want a career in this, this is what you got to do. You got to stay healthy. You got to do this. You got to do that. And I think that's helped a lot, knowing that there are things you can do now to counter some of the demand and punishment you're going to put on your body.
Right.
So parenting been absolute cakewalk joy.
Not cakewalk, but
because,
you know, you just take it so personally, everything. I mean, your kids can bring you to your knees.
Oh, my gosh, right?
Paco, am I?
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Your children can bring you. I mean, any hurts they get, any the kid, nothing like a child to, like, cut you out from your knees.
It's true. I want to hear this story. I
want to
know.
No, it's just the.
See, he's more interested in that than he is.
No, here's the thing.
You're like you're like the 6 o'clock news. If it bleeds, it leaves. That's what you want to hear.
No, I'm on it. Here's the thing. I am genuinely interested in both, but what I guess what I'm saying is that you have a very, I'm always curious about people who are like you. You have a very nice energy about you. It's a joy of life and the world around you, and the same thing in parents. I am not wired that way. I am more,
Come on, you seem like a great guy.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you, Greg. I am a great guy. But I'm just not – I don't see the shininess in everything. I'm more likely to see the – I get frustrated in – like, what was it? We went to a movie. The kids are out of town. Wife and I go to see Trainwreck, and we're walking. And I said – I go, huh, that's weird. Look at that. And she goes, what? What are you even talking about? And I had noticed that there was a lady sitting in, like – you know how they have, like, umbrellas outside of Starbucks?
Sure.
And then there's another restaurant, P.F. Chang's, and it has, like, a wall of glass to protect the people from the other people, I guess, that are there.
Right. You can't mix that.
Yeah, don't want to even hear these commoners going to the celebrity Sherman Oaks movie theater.
Right.
But the way that there was a curve to the glass, like, her voice had bounced back or whatever. And I go, that's weird because it sounds like she's over there, but she's over there. And my wife was like, my God. And I go, what? She goes, isn't it exhausting to be in your brain? Like, I said, what do you mean? She goes, just everything. Everything. It's like, look at how that guy has his keys. Like, you know, like that kind
Are
of
you
stuff.
Always?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's,
I can't.
That's what Luna says to me. She's like, it's just got to be exhausting to be you.
Right. My name is not really Luna, right?
I mean, no,
I just want to make sure that this is the code. I just want to make sure. Luna, a.k.a.
No, I've messed it up plenty of times.
Okay. Wow.
As long as it never goes in print, and then it can't be searchable.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there
were.
She tells her friends about this show all the time. It's hilarious. So anyway,
so you're just wired that way. I get
it. I'm wired differently, and that's why.
I don't want to play the age card, but I'm a little older than you. I am a little older, and I got to tell you, not to play age card and just, you know, throw off your argument.
Healthier, you're generally happier as well.
Well, you know,
you're just generally better everything than me. Let's be honest and realistic. You know what I mean? Let's just put that out there.
Yeah, I guess you do. Look, I'm not Gandalf. I'll tell you that right now, but. I ain't that. But you get to the point where, you know, you learn not to sweat the small things. And I know that sounds like so tangential and all that stuff.
No, but that's what my point is. My point is that to me, I am not sweating small stuff. Like, those are the things, like the thing about the lady's voice bouncing off, that's the stuff that just kind of hits me and bounces off. But there's other stuff that sticks with me, like my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, I cannot get out of my life. I cannot get out of my head.
Does she listen to this? Are you going to say that?
I hope so, because she will be so angry, Greg. I will never have to see her ass again.
Like sabotaging himself.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I wish. If I was really that interested, I could just give her an iPod filled with nothing but these shows.
And reference to her in the...
Or just be her friend on Facebook, because just joined Facebook and sends me friend requests, but because we send out automatic alerts whenever there's a new episode, right. I don't really want her to find it, you know what I mean? But if she did, I wouldn't be like, oh,
well, you got
man.
One on me, see, I never met my mother-in-law or my father-in-law, so maybe...
That's why. We solved the problem. If you don't have a mother-in-law...
Right. I didn't have parents...
generally
in-laws
happy.
To deal with.
Generally happy, yes.
Generally just...
We didn't have in-laws to deal with, so... That's the secret, guys.
You know what? I don't really have a mother-in-law either, and I'm generally happy.
That is a load of horseshit. So that's why I ask. Because when you're the guy who's happy about everything and you get to make the statement of, my daughter at 16 is just the best time of my life, you know what I mean? Where everybody else...
Suspect. That is a bit suspect. and hearing it come from your lips, I have to say.
See what I'm saying? Yes. When you put it into curmudgeon's
what
body...
What is he on? What did you say? Right.
So
right.
I want to know what the thing is, that moment that takes you out from the knees. Because from my angle, I would imagine it being something like, one day, she would not eat the meal that I prepared for her. And that just got me right here. And you know what I mean? And or is it the thing that she's like, I hate your ass. I never want to see you again. You know what I mean?
We haven't gotten to that. Usually when she's hurting. If something's hurting, that's what I mean. As a parent, when she's hurting, she's encountering the world.
Protective instinct.
And the world she's traveling now at 16 is not the world I traveled in at 16. I mean,
she's
way out of the cocoon and everything. So when something hurts her, when there's a real something that touches her spirit, that just kills me. Kills me.
Do you think, though, that struggle is good for people?
Yes.
So you're wired to where you feel that, and you're like, I want to swoop in.
In fact, we were concerned that she was having it too easy at one point. Both my wife and I were, she's sort of middle class, and, her problems tend to be iPhone. Which iPhone 6 should we get her? And
Well, you know what?
She's a little – so we were concerned that she didn't have
– get her the 5. And let her suffer.
Right? She won't grow if you don't get her.
If anything, I kind of overprepared because she went to New York, another very popular dance program last year in New York. And I thought, okay, now there's going to be these kids around you. And I'm telling this is what you got to do. And she actually wrote this down. She says, Dad, I've never heard you speak like this before. I'm telling you, if someone gets in your face, baby, you slap the shit out of them and you tell them, call your dad. And so, I just went total Brooklyn.
Came out.
Oh, yeah. Because I was a little concerned. Like, this kid's been safe, she's been sheltered, and she's going to New York by herself. This was a 2-month program, and I'm like, and I just went, even my wife kind of went, Greg.
It's like that movie Get Hard with Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell. Exactly. She's like,
and she reads this back to me now. She actually wrote it down. My dad said in July of 2014. If they get up in your face, slap the shit out of them and have them call your tell them to call your father. And I'm thinking, oh, God. But I was really freaking out that she was just a little too.
I love the sketch in my mind of you guys being this, I don't know where you live, but in my mind, the story goes that you're just a sweet suburban family from Pasadena. You know what I mean? Everything is magical and good. And then the daughter's like, I'm going to Juilliard. And then you're the Brooklyn and you're the Caribbean. Comes out.
I was ready to summon. I said, oh, honey, don't worry about that because you're going to be fine. I mean, if they only, the kids you're going to find at Juilliard, you can come
you're going to rule that playground.
Exactly.
Right?
It was like, they won't even know where you, baby, look, just.
You go to that ballet school.
Tell you from Bed-Stuy. Say, where you from? Tell me you from Bed-Stuy. They're going to back off on you. Dad? No, I'm Terry, honey. You tell them that.
Is that like Southampton?
Exactly. They'll back up on you.
You go into that ballet class and you find the skinniest girl there and you kick the shit out of her. You understand me?
You got cred then, baby. You're gonna have cred. They won't mess with you then. So yeah, I might have been a little overzealous. Okay. And my wife kind of made me aware that she didn't get in the way, but she was like, okay, Greg, okay.
But I don't think I could see either one of my kids sending them off. and they're, you know, they split her age, you know, on either right, side of right. her age.
Yeah.
But presumably, yeah, last year she'd have been 15. I just can't see doing it.
You mean sending them off to like a major?
Anyway, I can't see sending them off to the corner.
Yeah. It's good for them. It's good because right. they got to negotiate a lot of stuff on there. She was having a problem with a particular teacher, let's say an instructor, and, you know, we listened to her and we advised
her. She kicked the shit out of that teacher.
And she got a bat.
Whooped that Russian's
she's
ass.
She's never going to be dancing no more, man. Let me tell you that.
I handled my business, Dad. Right. I got her. Right.
And she's got even more cred now. Once she took the teacher out, it's like, they really, they bring her things
right
now.
Right now, she's in a coma and all she says is Bed-Stuy.
That's Sweet Papa Too Bad's daughter, man. That's Sweet Papa Too Bad's kid. What were you thinking? What were you thinking?
Vanka, Vanka. I have Sweet Papa Too Bad's daughter in my class. What do I do? Steer clear. Steer clear.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Don't make eye contact. It set her off.
No right. sudden moves.
Right, right, right.
Just say her Shanae's are beautiful. Right. She does a single pirouette but that is the best double pirouette you've ever seen.
Don't get in her face because, man, that's...
She has toothbrush shift. Yeah, be careful.
My daughter knows nothing about Bed-Stuy. No. You know, yeah, come on. She's, but no, yeah, it is good for them to get experience.
It's good for, one of the coolest things, among many other things, one of the funniest things and coolest things that my dad ever did for me when I was that age. I was 16, supposed to go into my sophomore year in high school. And my dad grew up on a farm, so he's always had these like cool stories that he would tell about crazy things that he did. Like they would steal watermelons from a guy, and he would shoot at them with rock salt shotguns. Okay. They're hillbillies.
And, it's like whoa. Deliverance of
this guy really liked his watermelons. He was very into them. He grew them, and he didn't like kids taking them. But anyway, so he had the, and I was like, man, I'll never have cool stories like this. Well, we were hanging out at kind of a party, and it was like a friend of a friend. And this guy was a long-distance trucker, and he would go out with his wife, and she would kind of keep him company, keep him awake while he's driving. And she had to have an operation, so he's like, oh, I got to go across country again, but she's got to stay home, so I have to go solo. And he goes, well, do you want company? And this guy was like, what do you mean? He goes, because I got a 60-year-old kid. He won't shut up. He'll talk to you and keep you awake if you want. And it'd be good for him to go out and see the country.
And that's what you did?
And that's my. I didn't even know it. My dad was very good at getting me to do things without –
And how old were you, 16?
16.
What was it like?
It was awesome. I mean, here's the thing. I didn't know the guy.
Show me on this doll where the bad man touched you.
Everywhere. I became a man that summer. In every sense of the word.
And you actually went cross country.
I went from Oakdale, California is where we started. And then we went across through Northern California, up to Michigan, down through North Carolina, and then back through Tennessee, dipped down through Oklahoma, and then came back across the middle.
And your dad was awesome. Cool. Your mom was cool with that? Your mom was okay?
Yeah, she didn't. Well, I don't know.
She liked him either.
Yeah.
Nobody liked me. It's nice that you put a face on it, but I know he left you on an off ramp about 5 minutes after you got in the truck.
No. Well, here's the thing. Here, kid. What the full story of it was, we get in the truck and we're leaving, and I didn't know what to do. I was still a teenager and awkward enough, even though I did not shut up. But I still was – so this was one of the few times in my life I was kind of quiet and just kind of sitting there. And the ice broke about an hour to 2 hours into the trip. We'd left in the late evening or later part of the early evening, early evening. I'm an idiot. So we get into Nevada at about 10 o'clock at night, and the guy goes, you want to see something cool? And I said, sure. He turns on the CB radio, like 2 minutes, 5 minutes to 10. At 10 o'clock, it goes like – like squelches alive, and then when it calms down, you hear all these women on the CB radio going, hey, how you doing out there, da, 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 da. And it was all the whorehouses of Nevada advertising via CB radio to the truck drivers.
That's wicked.
I will never forget this for the rest of my days, is that there's this lady who comes on, she goes, hey, this is Sally from la da 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 da, and the guy goes, hey, do you guys got showers there? And she goes, yes, we do. He goes, will you take a shower with me? She goes, yes, I will. He goes, do you take a credit card? She goes, yes, we do. He goes, I'll be there in 15 minutes.
He didn't go, did he?
No, not the guy I was with. It was just another trucker.
Another trucker that I was
listening to their citizen band
conversation.
Yeah, that's
an education for sure.
And then you get to Oklahoma, and you have these guys talking on CB radio that no one can understand what they're saying. Like he goes,
another language, right?
Yeah, it was like a whole other world for me, where it's like, we're going to go here to this restaurant. Yeah. We have ourselves a good old time. We're going to be good. Come on back, this long dick daddy from Cincinnati. How you doing? I'm out here on the hunt for a Sweet Papa Too Bad. And see,
wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I heard it. Greatest point of the trip was that I've achieved it was coming out of Oklahoma. I could learn to understand an Oklahoma truck driver. And And I learned all these. All of them were kind of sexual in nature, but then
imagine
the like they were. If I don't know if the ladies know this, but if you're driving in a car and you have a short skirt on, women, especially in a sedan car, don't realize because you think that the doors are up at about your shoulder length. So they'll hike the skirt up to make it easier to kind of spread their legs to do the brakes and all that stuff, right? Or to be more comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, a truck driver pulling up on your passenger side could see right down into that driver's side seat. So what they would do is they would call out on the CB radio, go, I got a Dodge Stratus over here in the hammer lane, and that's the far left lane. She goes, she is rocking some denim like there is no tomorrow. And so if you're driving in your car and you realize that, hey, there's a lot of trucks coming by me.
The secret world of CB radio talk.
And then the best, though, was that there was these, I don't know how or why this happened. We were, I think, in Missouri, if I remember correctly. And there were two girls, like 20-something-year-old girls, and a guy was driving a minivan. And they were just completely naked and making out in the back of the minivan and putting on a show for truckers only. Like, and so all these truckers, at least at the
FTO
time.
FTO for truckers only.
Five semis lined up, and then the one in the front would pull over and make him slow down so that they could work the line and then go back up.
I think they were more than just semi.
The more innocent part of it was early on we would go to truck stops, and I'd never been to truck stops. And
it's
I'd
too
never,
late for innocent.
I know, right? I'd never discovered the joys of books on tape. I mean, now it's nothing, but then it was
something special.
I could listen to Star Wars books on tape, like fan fiction of Star Wars, and this was like a whole other world of Star Wars I didn't even know existed.
Right. At what point did he drive off the road?
Well, I had a Walkman. I bought a Walkman, so I was listening.
No, that's great.
So my dad, I call my dad from a payphone. That's how we used to communicate for anybody who's 22. And and he goes, how's the trip going? And I said, it's going so much fun. I go, Dad, there's these cool audiobooks of Star Wars and they have sound of it. He goes, what? You're listening to audiobooks? And I said, yeah, it's awesome. He goes, son, you're there to talk to him, to keep him awake. That's your job. You're serving a purpose. Put the fucking thing down. And I go, oh, okay. And so then now I had to re-navigate learning to, conversate with this guy and hang out. And,
right.
But it was still a ton of fun.
That's great summer, though. See, I think travel for kids, I mean, just sending them out.
Everybody I tell that story to, they always say, like, so your dad didn't really know this guy. I'm like, yeah, he kind of knew him. And they're always like.
Times were different then. They were a little different then, too.
But they don't have to be, right? Like, have people ultimately, here's the thing, I think, in the big picture, people overall have actually gotten more decent and better in the bigger picture, right? I think we're more aware of things that go bad. Yes. But I think that overall, like we talked about this about 3 weeks ago, where there was a thing that came out and that was kind of trying to say that violent video games are causing people to be more violent or whatever. And I said, so I looked at the math of, like, they used the example of Call of Duty. And I said, well, back in 2003, they sold like 1.5 million copies of Call of Duty. This 2 years ago, they sold 16 million copies. But if you look at the statistics for rape and murder in the U.S., those have declined. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. And we had a doctor who came in talking about parenting and child development. She said, everybody's kind of getting it. She goes, it's weird because psychologically we feel like we're struggling more than what, say, our parents did. Mm-hmm. Our parents would do horrible things.
But the behavior's changed a lot.
And just be like, yeah, so yeah. I think it's not as scary a world that we think it is, that it's good to get them out there.
Right. Well, it's also sensationalized it a lot. I mean, we hear the sensational stories. Obviously, that's what sells papers and sells blogs.
Right. But these leads,
But I think the 2 years that she's gone away every summer has been the best 2 years in terms of her maturation.
Right. My daughter, I thought you were going to say the best two summers of your life. I thought you were going to say, but
no, I've missed her. I go into her room every night.
I
got to say, here's a mush pot here.
Oh, yeah.
I go into her room every night. I spend like 10 minutes looking around, smelling her smell before I leave. I know.
You're the sweetest guy in the world.
It's funny. I miss her that much.
My 14-year-old is away right now, and if you go in his room, you can barely breathe for gagging.
It's very different.
You don't go in there.
A boy's room is very different from a girl's room. Yeah. That is true.
Get out as quickly as you can.
She's assiduous about how she has things, but so I do that.
The air is just thicker in there.
Yeah. I can't wait to get her back.
When does she come back?
She comes back this Tuesday. She's flying back with my wife this Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah, I know there'll be a lot more demands on me. I know that, but I don't know.
But it'll be exciting. She gets to tell you about the trip.
I want to see what she's become. I want to see how this. month.
How long has she been? So it's begun a month.
She's been on a month.
That's awesome.
I want to see what she's become in that time. And, you know, did the Sweet Papa Too Bad thing work? Did the Best Eye thing work? Did she, you know, I want to hear the stories. I want to hear, because, you know, they still don't communicate, though. Don't get me wrong now.
Right.
She still doesn't communicate. I'll call, so how was class today? And on a good day, she'll give me a few lines, but usually right. it's like, da 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 da. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
And I tell her, well, is she talking to you about what's going on? So that's still common. Parent kind of.
She's still a teenager in that sense.
Yeah,
like, I got stuff to do.
She doesn't regale me with stories of how point class and partnering went today. It's like, yeah. I went, it was good. That's it.
Has that been hard for you and your wife to deal with? Like, see her kind of grow up? Or is it? I imagine that is also very bittersweet. Where it's like you want to see that.
Yes. Proud of the person she's become, but it means they're going and they're going to fly the nest. They're going to fly the nest. And she will in about 2 years. She's going to be off to college. So it happens. I don't know. It happens fast, guys. You have kids. It's, you know, she was in my arms, and now she seems like she's running around Lincoln Center and going to Starbucks and
Take
Cafe Luxembourg and, you know, doing all that. I said, when did that happen? When how quickly did that happen? So,
well, good for you guys. Well, I don't want to leave without talking about the fantastic plays that you are directing.
Thank you.
Also, you can obviously check them out on True Blood. You can get those box sets, DVDs, all that stuff. True Detective. Is that, you've already done shooting all of that, correct?
Yes. Yes. My stuff on True Detective. True Blood is definitely done. And True Detective, as far as I know, that character is done.
Oh.
But there's a pilot I didn't tell you this that. They're gonna look like they're gonna bring me back on, so I'll tell you that
a separate show, like a separate
a different show, and there's no True in it at all.
No, I think this is a bad move, Grant. I mean, I know your publicist
bad career
here,
move, right?
We got to
called yesterday
with your
about bringing me back on. That's the thing when you're doing those recurring ones, you never know. So, but listen, I will go back in a heartbeat on True Detective. I think that show is and
it's
this
phenomenal.
Cast, I mean, I'm sorry, but Colin Farrell and. Listen, I'd go back.
Like, it's like Better Call Saul, you know, it turned into its whole own thing.
Yeah. Right.
So those kind of shows, I mean, I don't know. They just do it well. HBO does it well. I'm sorry, guys. Game of Thrones, True Blood.
Yeah, I feel like they have a lot of golden statues that kind of support that a little bit.
They do. And there's a reason for it. Being on the shows, let me tell you, they take their time. They really make sure they cover your performance. They care about what you're doing, your performance. It's not like a shoot it. I mean, no one feels that. No other station tries to make a bad show.
Right.
But they
right.
put in the time to make sure your performance is on the mark. Let's move on now.
For them, and I think it is different, like with a network, with especially they have a lot of time that they have to fill, whereas, you know, HBO can kind of lean on movies, I would imagine, so it frees them up to be able to go, we have like four shows that we are original, these are our shows, and we're going to nail them.
Yes, and on True Blood, they were there, and they just let us go.
I have a funny True Blood story that I would like for you to hear. My first SAG commercial that I booked here in Los Angeles was a Nike commercial, and it was right in the middle of the strike, the big strike, and I can't remember what year that was or whatever, but I want to say it was like 09 or something. Does that sound right? Or 08?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So I'm working with this crew and a director, and the lady who was the assistant director were sitting there having lunch, and then they said, so how you doing with the strike? Because with the writers striking, the people who were really suffering too were the production people because there was nothing for them
nothing
to produce, you know, kind of thing. And this girl, it was so awesome. She, I'm going to blank on the name. It's Anna Paquin, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the girl goes, I'm working on this new show on HBO. And she's like, oh, really? Well, she goes, what is it? She goes, it's some vampire show with Anna Paquin. It's called True Blood. She goes, it's not going to last. And it was so hilarious because I was like, wow, I'd never been like kind of insider in that adjacent to that.
Sure.
So as soon as it came out, I was like, TiVo,
that's
I got to see.
That's the one.
Because I knew like I enjoyed Anna Paquin. I thought she was very beautiful. She's a great actress. I like vampires. Like what's not to enjoy?
Like,
and it was just so hilarious because for me, watching it just keep blowing up and becoming like the biggest thing at Comic-Con.
Seven seasons, I know. Oh, that's right.
So, for me, right. I just imagine her going to work and going,
wow, that call
when will this die?
Right. Well, no, she called that. She was behind the curve on that one. Big time. That vampire show with Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
Nah,
so she goes, it's a vampire show with Anna Paquin. It's called True Blood. And it was great. She goes, they go, really? Well, it sounds interesting. She goes, I don't know. In this thing, it's like vampire. Everybody knows vampire exists. And the True Blood is like this fake blood that they make so they don't have to eat people anymore. I don't think it's going to last. I really
little tunnel vision there, right? Looking back on that moment.
To me, it's also that thing where it's like what you're describing, like different networks versus HBO. It's like nobody goes out to make a bad show.
No,
you know what I mean? And the fact of the matter is that I think while you're doing it, Is that fair to say? You never really know what the reception is
Absolutely.
Going to be.
Just bring all the integrity and A game you can to it. But
right.
you know, if they had a formula for it, come on, all the studios, yes, everybody exactly. in L.A. said, right. oh, we're going to make a hit, we're going to make a hit. So
yeah,
no one knows.
Churn them out.
And there have been shows I thought were going to fly, and they totally right. tanked. You know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no formula for it.
It's so interesting to me. But anyway, so there's all that stuff. Now talk to us about August Wilson's Fences.
That's a Pulitzer Prize winning play, 1987. This is the 30th anniversary of the play. James Earl Jones did it on Broadway.
Wow.
It is a beautiful family story. Beautiful set in Pittsburgh. August Wilson, the playwright, won two Pulitzers. This was one of the plays, and it is a beauty. International City Theater in Long Beach. Gorgeous spaces, Long Beach Convention Center. We're doing it there for about 4 weeks.
It's opening August 19th yes. and running through September 13th for
yes,
anybody
we're in
rehearsal
for it right
area.
Now. And it's a really, it is a beautiful, beautiful story. He has to be our American Tennessee Williams, Eugene O'Neill.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's
absolutely.
Up there. He is definitely up in the pantheon of great American writers.
And then also, you're doing these both simultaneously?
No, Lombardi just opened, okay. and then I went to rehearsal right away for Fences. Lombardi's a lot of fun. Vince Lombardi, legendary football coach, Green Bay Packers, took a team that was wretched and won the first two Super Bowls with them. But it also is his whole style of how he coached, what he did for, I mean, the Lombardi trophy now, the Super Bowl is named
right.
after Lombardi. So it just gives you a glimpse into
I
how
I feel like
Lombardi,
if you're at all a football fan, you have to. This is something you have to.
You have to.
See.
And if you're not a football fan, you'll
still enjoy it.
It.
You can still bring. Here's what I think Lombardi is. Tell me if I'm wrong on this, Greg. I feel like most of the guys, if for anniversary, they say the wife wants to go see a play or a musical. You're like, okay, great. Let me just find some crochet needles to jab out my eyes and ears. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I feel like this is a compromise.
Yes.
You know
this
what I mean?
This is totally compromise.
It's like Chris Hemsworth being in your romantic comedy. You see what or action movie. It's right. like, we'll go. Yes, I will go see Thor because Chris Hemsworth
because Chris
is eye candy
right.
for my wife.
Right.
You know what I mean? That
and Marie Lombardi, his wife, does figure prominently in the story.
Yeah.
So it's not just, again,
well, you can't. You can't just have yeah. an entire play about a guy who goes X's and O's. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and you really find, yeah. And that's what we got, X's and O's. But Marie Lombardi figures big time. And three actual players from the Packers days are in. Paul Hornung, Jim Taylor, and Dave Robinson. For those who are diehard football fans. So
and he was a bigger-than-life
larger
guy.
Larger-than-life
guy.
Who changed, really, the nature of football.
Yeah.
I mean, how he coached and how he – and folks don't know this, but he was one of the first coaches who insisted – that his team traveled together, blacks and whites.
Yes.
That any place that wouldn't serve blacks, he says, my team's not
going. He was the first
there.
One. I saw a great documentary. He said, he goes, I don't care what color their skin is. I care about who's the best player. That's what matters.
And when they got to the South even, did they like, well, you're not going to let my Negro players in here? Well, then none of my players are welcome in here.
Right.
So you got to give him credit for that. He was a visionary in that way also, not just a football man, but someone who was fair. He was
He had the presence to stand behind that, to really, you know, he was a daunting
he was.
Fellow, you know.
He was. They say his voice could raise the dead.
Yeah.
They said Lombardi's voice could raise the dead. And we have a fantastic actor playing Vince Lombardi. Burt Emmett is his name. So come on out and see it at the
I
Group Repertory Theater.
Go check those out. The other thing I wanted to say that for on this Lombardi thing is that on that documentary I saw that was really interesting is John Madden said when he was a young coach, he heard that Vince Lombardi was giving a speech. And so he go about the sweep play,
yes.
right?
Power sweep.
Power sweep. And he said
49, number 49, the power sweep.
And he goes, so I assume that we are going to go there and it's going to be like a 2 or 3 hour time. He goes, no. He spoke for 8 hours straight
oh my God.
On nothing but
sweep.
One play. And he goes, and the funniest thing about it, John Madden says, he goes, when I walked out of there, I still felt like I didn't quite
understand
all of it. Like,
yeah,
he didn't give me everything there right. was to know about the power
that was
sweep.
The signature play of the Packers that he designed, the
right.
power sweep. And that was, and people knew they were going to do it. Other teams knew.
But still couldn't
sweep
stop it.
And they couldn't stop it.
It's crazy.
They know that's what we're going to run. We're going to play it. That was the signature play of the Packers.
Football season's almost here, baby.
So come on out, Packers,
I'm
and
excited.
See Lombardi.
Please
do.
Daddy is happy.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to take – those are two date nights that Daddy just nailed.
There
that's
you
right.
go.
Honey, we're going to go see Fences and Lombardi again. So where – is there like a website that they can go to?
Yeah. ICT.
The Group Rep.
There you go.
The Group Rep.
Repertory Theater.
Is for Lombardi, and then I'm assuming Long Beach Performing Arts Center.
It's called International City Theater. So if you go to ICT.org.
There it is. InternationalCityTheater.org, right
yeah.
there.
InternationalCityTheater.org. You'll hear all the information. We haven't opened yet, but we open in about 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks.
All right. And
how much time have you had? It's like, have you had 3-4 weeks to get that ready?
You know, when it rains, it pours. It's like one of those. That's just been my karma in life. That really when I get things, I get projects back to back. That's just really the way. You know, my wife is like, "Great, you can't keep doing this." But it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I got a chance to do Fences, a Pulitzer Prize winning play, my first August Wilson play.
You got
to
do
that. Oh, I have a chance to do a Lombardi about Vince Lombardi. You know, you just stay healthy and you just do it.
I got a question that's not really related to parenting, but I'm curious about is that how is it that one gets a job as a director? I mean, we all know actors go in an audition. Do you have to go in and read for all the roles as the director?
How does that? No, but you have to have a vision about the play. I have a relationship with ICT and a group rep. I'll call them up. I say, listen, let me almost like a pitch. Do you know this play? This is why I think this play will work for your audience. This is why I really want to do this play. So you sort of sell the artistic director on why this play, why now, why to your audience, what's your passion for doing it, and because they're making up a season.
So these are not plays that they had in their season that they said we
ICT did. ICT did, but she thought I would be a good, the artistic director knew I'd be a good match for Fences. The group rep didn't have that play. I brought it to them and said to the artistic director, here's what I think about this play, and I brought him around. So.
I know I sound like a total idiot, but I'm really honestly, I'm going to go see both of them. That is a fact.
I'm pleased to hear that.
I really am excited about the Lombardi thing because I remember them advertising it with the football season because I forgot his name already again. You told me before.
Dan Loria
did it on Broadway.
NFL got behind that one too. Yeah. They had a lot of going on with that one. Yeah, it's a fun piece.
And just watching the little snippets that they would use as interstitials, I was like, we'd love to see plays about this.
We have running on monitors and everything. It's kind of a multimedia
kind
of thing.
That's cool.
We have the power sweep. We actually screen the power sweep during the play.
That's outstanding.
So everything you would want out of an evening, you need to come and see this play.
So now, Greg, we're going to wrap this show up, and I did a horrible thing as a host in preparing you with your publicist. I don't think I mentioned this, but when we close the show, we do kind of a moment of the week is what we do on our Friday show. So we find something, I'm curmudgeon-y, as I said before, so sometimes I get on here and I complain a lot about my life and my kids and my wife, so we do a palate cleansing thing. For you, this will just be anything you ever say about your wife or family. But I would love to hear just kind of a either from when she was young or if it could be more recent or something, just something kind of cute and touching after I play this fantastic intro that I produced.
Okay.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So we'll have our dear Paco go first, and then you will sandwich that, and then I will close.
All right. Well, I was going to talk about some bonding that my older son Diego and I have been doing. He's 17, and we have found a bunch of pointless TV shows that we have been watching. The Woodsman, which is just about a bunch of crazy woodsmen, and something called Alone, which is like Survivor, but real, where they take 10 people and drop them in the wilderness separate from one another, and Last Man Standing wins a ton of money. And we're just having a great time watching those things. But that's not it. That's not the moment of the week. The moment of the week happened. My wife Luna has gone back to work. She was off for about 8 months, which I guess in your household isn't that big a deal, but she'd been working every day for 20-something years. Yeah. I really had her, you know, set up straight. But finally, she fell apart, and and so she'd been here.
I like that she's a thoroughbred horse.
Yeah, really.
I really had her nailed down. She was going to do the Triple Crown. Well, she went lame. We had to put her down.
But she, not last night, but the night before, she said she wanted pizza. Now I'm a homemaker. I'm the cook, chief bottle washer.
He makes individual meals too for each of his kids. He's that good of a father.
What happens is no one. It's like a diner over there.
Yeah.
Because no one likes even if they're all eating a grilled cheese sandwich. Everyone wants a different bread. Everyone wants a different cheese. It's like, oh, the hell with it. So, but pizza
my favorite
is,
moment. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you. But my favorite moment is that they had their air conditioning went down a while ago, right? And so I said, well, what? They were miserable. It was in the middle of summer, and I said, why don't you guys just come over and have dinner at my house? I'm making tacos. He goes, I can't do that to you. I go, what do you mean? I go, who doesn't like tacos? He goes, everybody likes tacos, but they have to have it in their
own way.
I need to have some meat that has no seasoning on it. It needs to be in a little Tostito bowl chip. I go, oh, well, then I'll bail on the tacos and we'll get pizza. Everybody likes pizza, right? And they go, he goes, yeah, but not. It depends on where you get it from.
Pizza was worse.
Well, I'll get it. Yeah. He goes, I'll get it from the place that, you know, wherever they want. He goes, no, everybody has to have a different place with special instructions.
Dude, I take my hat off to you, man.
Yeah, exactly,
wow.
Right?
It's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
Evidently, I do nothing but surround myself with better people than me. That's what I'm learning today.
It's a lot of work.
So, anyway, back to you, Paco.
So,
sorry.
You know, when she says, I want to have pizza, it's kind of a loaded thing. Now, the older boy was off at a friend's house. And I'm trying. She's coming from work. And how is it going to work with now? It's only two places instead of three or four places it used to be. And she says, well, I'll stop and get mine, which is not necessarily near where she was, but none of it was near where anybody was, frankly, conveniently. So then it fell to me to go get Diego and then swing by the other place, which is near home, and come back. And so I shot off to do that, and she was covering her end of it. I had to call it all in, though. God forbid she make a phone call. So in any case, she just doesn't want to mess up somebody else's order. So on the way with Diego, now he's like, he doesn't want to ride shotgun to the place. And I'm like, look, I can leave. I don't have to park. You could just jump out and go and get bring it back. He doesn't want any part of it. And he's got his stuff in the back. He's got to go inside. I'm like, fine, I'll just drop you off at home. And so I let her know that I'm going to drop him before I go. And she says, no, I got it all. She had gone and gotten the pizza from everywhere.
Wow. Nice.
And I was like, holy cow.
Wow.
She just did you one better.
Yeah.
Diego. She just supplanted
That's
you
a nice surprise,
as moment
dad.
Of the week. So I was very excited. That's just sort nice. Of family moment of the week, not dad.
Yeah, yeah, that's
necessarily,
okay.
But
that's okay.
That was very
gratifying.
Very sweet of her. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I let her stay up for a little bit longer.
Yeah, as good. Reward.
Yeah.
Her great. Bedtime was pushed back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. All right, your turn, Greg.
It's just a short one. About a week after my daughter, you know, she's at the program in Juilliard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't hear much from her in the first week or so.
Right.
I got a text one morning. Said, thank you so much for sending me to this school.
Oh.
You know, and all the plans and all of this, she just stopped and sent a text saying, and it was unbidden, and
yeah.
It was just, thank you so much. Actually, she said, thank you and Mom, but forget Mom. I
right?
prefer it. She said, no. But she
Great
said,
Daniel, ladies and gentlemen, yes!
No. But I shouldn't have said that. But she just...
We'll edit it out. It's
there you go, fine. Please. She just said, thank you for sending me to this place. And suddenly... It all,
yeah.
It was just transformative. I went, oh, she gets it. She gets it. She's just not this selfish, you know, egomaniacal
right,
kid.
Right.
She understands the sacrifice and the stuff we do to right. get her to these places. So
that's
that
so
for
cool.
me,
I will murder my children if they do not do that. I do that constantly to my parents. I constantly thank them yeah. for everything in my life that is great. I just had a moment where my mom was – I insisted on buying dinner or lunch or something, and she was like, you can't – nope, we're not doing that. I go, Mom, everything I have is because of everything that
right.
you guys have done for me and set me up for.
Right.
I can't
yeah. –
it
they
makes me feel
that.
Good. I just want to – it's stupid. I'm buying $40 yeah. worth of pizza, but it's the – there's no way I could ever pay.
I will
so,
never.
Yeah.
I will never delete that text.
On
it's
that.
Just one of those texts.
Along
that,
those I'll same never. Lines, I'm hoping that Greg can forward that text to me so I can pretend it's from my
What if horrible his daughter got an app? There's an app for that too for parental acknowledgement.
I wouldn't got it. What's yours?
So, I'll read one from a listener real quick and then we'll do mine. I have to share my very sweet moment of the week. This is from Ashton. She put it on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/dadpodcast. My daughter just returned from a 10-day trip visiting family out of state. I think this is the longest span of time that I've gone without seeing her. When she arrived, the front door swung open and I heard this tiny voice cry out, I'm home! I walked around the corner and my daughter jumped into my arms, legs wrapped around my waist, and gave me the biggest, sweetest hug. Her smile lit up the hallway and my home was filled with noise and chaos once again. As much as I enjoyed the quiet time with my husband, it is nice to have her home and hear about all of her adventures with grandparents, cousins, aunts, and uncles that she only visits twice a year. So very strange.
You're about to have that yourself.
I know.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's like when you come home and the dog greets you.
Yeah, same thing.
Genuine. That's beautiful.
Mine is, so my kids are with my parents right now. They're up in Northern California.
Well said.
So, yeah.
Stay frosty.
So, my dad, it's where there's a kind of a theme that's happening here, is my dad sent my wife and I a text. We were having a date movie thing, and I just get this text from my dad. He said, "Thank you guys for two great little kids. We have had a blast today," which I thought was very sweet and very touching, which my dad is a very sweet guy, but not often does he kind of say that stuff. And he has an issue with neighbors at his cabin that they'll come over or whatever. My dad is also very curmudgeon-y, shocker. And so then we also got this text, which made me laugh very hard. He goes, "Can we keep the kids? They're really good at getting rid of neighbors. They pick up the hatchets and the neighbors leave." My sons are up there evidently living like pioneer men. Right. My dad bought them two hatchets. You talk about like having that go, "Ooh, please don't come home with one less leg," you know, because they're 6 and 4. They have and mini hatchets.
Oh, geez.
And they're chopping down trees and building fire with my father.
Oh,
now, this is the greatest thing in the world to my dad, like, because they just go out. They wake up, they have breakfast, they go outside with axes and hack down trees and then build a fire all day long. I think that the ozone hole is now 10 times bigger. I apologize to whatever we're doing to Russia right now. Right.
Yeah.
But
just the interaction though, you're great.
Yeah, like it is really, really cool.
It doesn't get much better.
No,
it doesn't.
I'm really glad that they get to have that moment, those kinds of things with my dad, because he was never that fun when I was a child.
Right.
No, to a kid, he was great.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that you know, my dad, Juan Bedoya, is not a not an outdoorsman, but you know, he does get together with my kids and makes puns.
So that's like Boy Scouts for comedy. Yeah.
He breaks down a joke for you and then shows you how to rebuild it.
Wow.
They can do it with blindfolds on now.
That's funny.
Well, we all sound like we have special.
See, you're right. You've made us all better, Greg.
You
made us all
acknowledge these wonderful moments that will stay with you.
My job
here is done.
Yes, you know. On to other podcasts to improve other people.
And to lift these people up like the Reverend I play.
Spread your wisdom.
You heard it here first from the only true actor, Greg Daniel. You can find him on Facebook.com/actorGregDaniel or follow him on the Twitter @RealGregDaniel. There are two G's in that Greg, and there's no S, bitches. So don't try and make him Daniels. The spelling for that is all in the description of this episode. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget, we have our sex and family therapist, Rachel Gibbs, is coming up, so send your questions in now. You can leave us a voicemail at 877-222-8323. All of our social media handles are in the description of this episode. Spread the word, tell everybody. And now, do you want to do the Amazon thing?
I certainly
do. All right, Paco's going to talk to us about our Amazon banner. And then
I tell you, what I need you to do is I need you to go to the Dad Podcast website. I need you to scroll down to the bottom, and there you're going to find the Amazon banner. When you click on that Amazon banner, it's going to take you straight on through to Amazon, where you will bookmark that site. And every time you return to the site using that bookmark and you buy something, it's going to cost you nothing extra, and it's going to give us a little something. Means the world to us, and we just know you're going to do it.
It still sounds like Michael Caine in a Western. I don't know why.
Michael Caine.
Every time he does a voice, I think I hear Michael Caine. But anyway, on behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Tooley, in my mind still, the only true actor, Greg Daniel himself, thank you very much for being here. This is Justin Warsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, my friends.